Welcome to Manners and Madness, a Jane Austen and David Lynch podcast. My name is Maya Adkins.
And I'm Christian Cabrera. And today we are diving into the 1996 Emma.
Yes, well, not just the 1996 Emma, the like ITV A&E Kate Beckinsale 1996 Emma. Yes. Because I believe the Gwyneth Paltrow one was also 1996.
Oh, I didn't know that. My bad. Well, I would say the one thing that sets this one apart from the Gwyneth Paltrow one for sure is that it is very hard to find, and we could only watch it on YouTube.
Yes.
But the full thing is up there.
Yeah, the full movie is up there. I mean, you could, I think somebody has it up there in pieces too, but I was kind of surprised because it's been up there for several years. It has like thousands and thousands of views. I think it was like 32,000 or something views, which normally if it gets that kind of traction, someone's going to pull it down. But
you would think, well, yeah. Maybe the owners are like, whatever. Whoever can watch it, watch it.
Yeah. Well, you can buy the DVD from Amazon. Mm. And if you look at the IMDb, it says Acorn on the picture. But I just looked at Acorn and I couldn't find it on there. So I don't know why it's been wiped from existence.
Who knows? I mean, you know, I would say diving right into first impressions, I really enjoyed it. So there's no reason to hide it, in my opinion.
No, I think it's good. It's, I mean, okay. So far we've seen the Gwyneth Paltrow Emma. We've seen the 2020 Autumn to Wild Emma.
Yes.
Have we seen any other Emmas?
I don't believe so.
Because I think there's like five. We saw Clueless, obviously.
Yeah.
There's an old one, and then
I don't believe we've seen any other ones. Okay. I think we were spreading them out.
Yeah, I think there's still two more for us to watch at some point. Which is crazy, considering we've only watched one Northanger Abbey, and we're like desperately holding on to the last one because it's like, well, that's all there is left.
I know. I mean, I do understand the draw to do Emma over and over again, just because the story is just so good. But I do kind of wish they would dip into the, you know, the less popular ones like Mansfield Park or Northanger Abbey. Like, give us some more of those.
Yeah. I agree, because those are two of my favorites.
Exactly. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought Kate Beckinsale was great.
Agreed.
And it definitely was one of those movies where it was like, oh, I recognize these people. Let me look them up. And there was a couple of them where I was like, oh, that's who they are. So I thought everyone was pretty good. I felt like at first it was moving very fast, because I feel like at like 26 minutes in, we were getting the Mr. Elliot rejection or Mr. Elton rejection. And I was like, oh my God, we're already here.
It's definitely a fast paced, and it doesn't even really explain a lot of stuff. I think it's like, you have to have read the book and know what's going on, because
yeah,
it's just like, it just takes it for granted that you know what's happening, which is fine with me. But, but you know, the Gwyneth Paltrow one was very short as well. It wasn't like they had a lot more content in it. No, and definitely. I mean, even the Autumn to Wild one, it was still only like a 2-hour movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say
Emma is a long book.
Yeah, nothing felt missing. It just like, I don't know if it was just we haven't watched one in a while or something, but I was just thinking like, is it moving faster than usual? Because it just felt so quick to get to the Mr. Elton rejection.
Yeah. Well, you were saying that you kept being like, oh, I know this person. And I was too, but I was like, this person isn't another adaptation. This person isn't another adaptation. I know they are. So I was looking up, like, there's at least four people who are in other Jane Austen things. Mm-hmm. And, well, no, five, I guess, because Kate Beckinsale as well.
Oh, yeah. And two of those five people, I'll explain the notes. Apparently, they were in like an adaptation together. So this is the second time.
You don't have to explain the notes because I can just tell you they were both in my favorite Mansfield Park.
Yes.
The 80s Mansfield Park. Yeah, I have it all written down in the recap, but we could just say the man who plays Mr. Woodhouse played Sir Thomas Bertrand in that Mansfield Park. And the woman who played Miss Taylor or Mrs. Weston was Mariah Bertram in that. So they were father daughter in that adaptation. And then the woman who played Mrs. Elton was in Bridget Jones, Edge of Reason, the one we just watched. Oh. And also in the 96 Pride and Prejudice, she was Mrs. Hurst in that.
Wow.
Was she in? I don't know if she was. Well, I'll have to check, but I think that was the only thing. And then the woman who played Jane Fairfax played Jane Austen in Miss Austen Regrets, which is one we were talking about doing this year, which is not an adaptation, but it's about Jane Austen. And then, of course, Kate Beckinsale was in Love and Friendship.
Yes. It's so funny to me how, like, British, I don't know, just British film and all this, like the costumes and the actors, it's all very like almost incestuous with Jane Austen stuff. They're all like somehow in a Jane Austen like adaptation or some sort, and the costumes have been in like 10 other ones.
The costumes.
Yeah, that was something that was really interesting about the IMDb trivia. It'll like, it lists a lot of the costumes that appeared in other Jane Austen or other British things.
Really, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I don't know whether you would consider this, I guess you'd consider it an ITV adaptation, which is an English or British broadcasting company, I think.
Yeah.
But also how I knew it was the A&E version, which is, I don't even know, does A&E still exist? used to be a channel.
I think it's been like probably put underneath one of the streamers, maybe Paramount Plus.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, so I don't know what I was
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. I'm excited to talk about it. So, you know, I really love Emma in the story, so can we just get into some notes and then get into the recap?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so for this Emma, it was released initially in the UK, November 24th, 1996, and then United States A&E.
The biggest year for Jane Austen ever.
I know.
Crazy. That Pride and Prejudice was 96. Both Emmas were 96. There's a Persuasion we haven't watched, which is 95, technically. I guess Pride and Prejudice is kind of technically 95 as well, but it depends on when it was aired. Over. You know, they were all basically filming and being put up at the same time, which is crazy.
I know. Something was in the air that year.
Jane Austen. Well, and since I guess it was because of the Emma Thompson Sense and Sensibility, which was in 95 as well. Or maybe it was Persuasion. I don't know. Everything, if they were all separate. It wasn't like, you know, when Masterpiece was like, we're going to do a Jane Austen season, and, you know, in conjunction with the BBC. And they did all of the adaptations. This was just like all different random adaptations that all came out at the same time.
I wonder if there was like some sort of resurgence of the books in the early 90s, like just some spike or something.
I don't know. It was probably whatever. I mean, it could have been The Sense and Sensibility because that one was a very popular adaptation. So maybe that just revived interest, or I don't know. Or maybe it was the Persuasion. I don't know.
So the director, he's got a very interesting name. Diarmuid Lawrence. he's English. Maybe it sounds like maybe it's just Darmood and they just don't pronounce those I's. And it was written by Andrew Davies. Good old Andrew Davies.
Sounds right. He was very busy in 96, I guess.
I guess so. And then for our cast, we have Kate Beckinsale as Emma Woodhouse, Bernard Hepton as Mr. Woodhouse, Mark Strong as Mr. Knightley, Samantha Bond as Mrs. Weston, James Hazeldine as Mr. Weston, Dominic Rowan as Mr. Elton, Samantha Morton as Harriet Smith, Prunella Scales as Miss Bates, Sylvia Barter as Mrs. Bates, Guy Henry as John Knightley, and Raymond Coulthard as Frank Churchill. Oh, and Olivia Williams as Jane Fairfax.
I was looking, I think it might have been in the trivia, it said that the woman who played Jane Fairfax and Kate Beckinsale had the same birthday, but they're like 5 years apart. And I was like, it's crazy that she's 5 years older than Kate Beckinsale because she looks the exact same age.
I know. Maybe it's the, I don't know, those 90s cameras.
I guess 5 years isn't but really that big of a difference. Celebrity. But
I don't know. But yeah, they did look very similar in age. But yeah, I mean, the trivia is just basically all costume. Full of this costume was here, this costume was there. So I'm not going to read those. Just, you know, read them for yourselves if you're interested. But
yeah. Not a lot of notes on this one, but
no.
Well, shall we just get into it?
Let's do it.
I will say that I didn't really do a full recap because we've done this, you know, several times before. I just kind of made notes on the like what this adaptation was making me think about.
Fine by me.
Oh, and did the woman who plays Mrs. Taylor, who was Mariah Bertram, was also in Downton Abbey.
Yes. She was the sister to, oh my God, what's his name? Hugh Bonneville's character.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where I recognized her from. Because she was the first one where I was like, I know this lady.
Every time I see her in something, I'm like, Mariah Bertram! Okay, so we start with the wedding. It goes straight into it. Like, well, we kind of start with the hen house robbery, which I think this one makes full use of, which is funny.
Yes.
And it starts off very dark. So if you're watching it on YouTube, it's like, the first two scenes look like, oh, this is going to be a terrible looking, but it gets better once it gets brighter.
Yeah, just those scenes.
Yeah. So they go to the wedding. This is all super fast. It's like, we barely find out who she is, why she's, you know, how she's related to Emma. We do see a little bit of like the lower classes, like on the way to the wedding. But I don't feel like this one really puts very much emphasis on the wealth of Emma. I mean, there is a little bit, but she doesn't seem like a super rich girl to me in this adaptation.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like the Anya Taylor-Joy version or whatever.
Right. Yeah, she's a little more subdued. Maybe a little, like, the clothing is not as extravagant. It's a little bit plainer. So yeah, I think they kind of maybe just were like not focusing on that, maybe focusing more on just kind of like, I would say it felt like love triangles. That's what their main focus was.
Yeah. Well, the wedding itself seems very sparsely attended. You know, there's not a big to do.
It was very interesting because I felt like she talked Mrs. Weston talked with the Woodhouses at breakfast and they just walked to the church and she was getting married in the same clothes and with like 10 people there, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, where are all the people? Because even all the adaptation we've seen so far, especially the Gwyneth Paltrow one, was very party centric.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so after the wedding, Mr. Knightley comes over because he didn't go to the wedding. And we start off, he's like talking to the servant, like, hello, first name, how's your family doing? Which, you know, kind of is trying to set him up as being nice and caring about the lower class. But I feel like he is the least nice Mr. Knightley we've ever had. He's like so unlikable, and I'm like, I don't want you to get together with him in the end. But
no, I feel like in this adaptation the age gap is very apparent. Like, it looks a little
well,
uncomfortable.
He looks old because he looks like he's balding, but then
yes,
he has zero wrinkles, so it's not like
it's jarring. The hair, I would say some of the hair on the men in this movie was very interesting.
Yeah, his hair is really
bad.
That's
what we'll talk about. And then once we get to like the garden scene or the hill scene or whatever it's called, where Emma has a little bit of a, you know, rudeness come out, but the way he talks about some of the other people is very interesting. It does make him the least nice out of all the Mr. Knightleys.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have plenty to say about him as we go along. I was not feeling him. I did like Kate Beckinsale, though. I thought she made a really good
Emma. She's very charming.
So, of course, Emma is on the lookout for a wife for Mr. Elton. She's very much like, in this adaptation, I'm a matchmaker, and that is my new profession.
Mm-hmm. I'm going into it full force.
Yeah. Heaven on high deems Harriet the one for Mr. Elton, because light streams through the window right on her as Emma's trying to decide, who should I hook him up with? And then she goes to talk to Mrs. Goddard, and Mrs. Goddard seems to be like, yeah, let's get her away from Mr. Barton. So it feels like Mrs. Goddard is feeling the same thing. Like, she's kind of, she doesn't need to be hanging out with these people, which is interesting because you don't get that a lot in the adaptations.
No, usually it's like, I would assume the mood is like, don't bother with her. Like, she's lower class, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, yeah, get her up there. The more connections, the better.
Yeah. Well, and people love to judge Emma. Like, she's so spoiled and she's breaking people's lives apart. And in this one, she's not the only one who's feeling it.
No.
We barely see any of Mrs. Bates in this adaptation, too. She's very rarely in it, but she's at the beginning, and her and Mr. Woodhouse have a very cute relationship. Mm-hmm. They both are like just talking and being silly. Also, I like that this adaptation is one of the few in which Emma is a brunette and Harriet is a blonde. Like,
oh yeah,
you don't get that a lot. Usually Emma is always blonde. I don't know if it's in the book that she's blonde, but I appreciated it as a brunette. Okay, so Mr. Knightley definitely in this version seems to be way more of a snob than Emma in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah.
When he finds out that Emma wants to hook up Harriet with Mr. Elton, it seems more like he's upset because she's ruining his matchmaking scheme to get Robert Martin with Harriet as opposed to, you know, any other reason. Yeah, we just never see them having any nice moments together. He's always yelling at her. They're never having like a fun, flirty banter. It's like he always seems annoyed with her and upset with her, and she's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that also I think added to like increasing the age gap, where it felt very much like he was like this annoying little sister. It was very much that. And yeah, there wasn't like the arrow scene from the other ones. There's not these like a lot of these scenes that would like create some sort of tension between them or anything like that. They're just always like butting heads.
I feel like this one's really trying to play into the twist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
definitely,
oh, they are getting together, but there's no moment before that moment where you're like, they should be the ones to get together. You're just like, okay. We see his brother and her sister come in, and his brother is also kind of a jerk. I said he was a poopy head in my notes.
I don't even remember them. That shows how much of an impression they made.
Okay, so this is really early in the movie, and we're already at Christmas dinner, and it's our first mention of Frank Churchill. He has not been spoken of until that point. You can watch Mr. Elton getting drunk during that scene. He's like constantly refilling his drink and drinking, and I don't know if it's supposed to be like a choice of, I'm nervous, so I'm just drinking.
That's kind of how I took it, because of the following carriage scene. He's like working up the nerve.
Yeah. I mean, he's always standing next to her during this scene, but it never is like, you know, annoyingly trying to get her attention type of a thing.
Right.
Frank Churchill is 32, which is not really that much younger than Knightley, really, because I think he's like 38.
Yeah, no, but they looked vastly different in age.
Again, I wrote, Knightley seems like kind of a dick in this version, so I've already expressed how I felt about it. Emma is totally obsessed with the painting of Frank Churchill. She just sits there and stares at it for like the entirety of the evening.
She does have a lot of these moments of like zoning out and like going into like a fantasy or some sort of daydream.
Oh, about, yeah, there like, are a lot of dreams.
Yeah, of like her, she's like, this is how this situation will work out, and I will be happily ever after.
So then we get the most awkward carriage ride. Emma looks so young in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that this Mr. Elton doesn't seem quite as icky as some of the other Mr. Eltons.
Yeah, he's not as like snobby and rude.
Yeah. Okay, and then finally, I had just written, we barely see any Mrs. Bates, and then she shows up, and Jane Fairfax shows up. This is really the crux of what this adaptation is focusing on, is the Frank Churchill, Jane Fairfax storyline, which I think they do really well, because you can really see all the bubbling underneath, like, if you know what's happening, but also they play it in such a way that, like, if you didn't know what was happening, you probably wouldn't necessarily get that.
Yeah. That I was picking up the same thing, because I always, whenever we try and watch a new adaptation, I'm always like, let me like sort of pretend I'm watching it for the first time to see if I can like get the twist.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job.
Yeah. And of course, Jane Fairfax is incredibly beautiful and talented, as she always is. Of course.
She can sing. She can play piano. Yeah.
Of course, Emma can't really warm to her because of jealousy. But as soon as Knightley tries to shame her, she jumps in there and is like, okay, I'll be her friend. And so she goes to sit down and like actually talk to her, but Jane has too many secrets to really let herself be a friend.
She's so like depressed in this adaptation. I feel like she never smiles. She never smiled. She's just always just like, yeah, I guess, or like, she's just always so like not there, which is so funny.
Yeah, I really like this Jane Fairfax, because, you know, she does have the depressed, especially at the end, but I feel like at the beginning, when she's just being like reserved, you can really see like kind of the thoughts going on in her head. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that you would necessarily know what they are, but if you do, you can see like, oh, I can't really say that, I gotta hold my tongue, you know.
Yeah, she's trying to play it safe.
Yeah. Okay, we do get one shot of Mr. Knightley's, or I don't know if it's even a it's like a little tiny scene lit where we're like surveying Mr. Knightley's estate. And I'm like, he's got like Darcy level estate.
Yeah, he's really rich. Like, I want those figures.
Yeah, I guess we kind of see that as Harriet is going to visit her old friends, which we get zero explanation of why she's going, what's happening. Nope. We're not focused on that. We're barely focused on Harriet at all in this story.
Yeah, it's very interesting how Harriet very much feels like a side story, which usually it feels like it's the main story.
Yeah, a lot of times the Jane Frank story is pushed to the back and we don't see a lot of it. But in like, I think in the Autumn to Wild one, that wasn't really, and the Gwyneth Paltrow one, that wasn't really as much of the story.
Right.
And more focused on the Harriet. But in this one, Harriet was kind of like, I mean, she was there and all of her beats were there, but it just wasn't.
It wasn't really about her.
To her story.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I think about like the Clueless and the Autumn to Wild one. No. What's the Gwyneth Paltrow one, excuse me, where it's like we see a lot of these, like the friction between Emma and Harriet. And in this one, there's really not that much friction that we see on screen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I do really like this Frank. He's very charismatic. He's like definitely the most charismatic man in the cast.
Yes. And talk about weird hair. He's got like the most like cherub curls, like blonde, like weird curls around his head. It's so...
so English.
Yeah, it made me laugh when I first saw it because it was just so, like... it almost felt like a little ridiculous. Like, I was like, is that... that looks like a wig.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, so anyway, he shows up. I like him, although I still was like...
he's good.
You're a sneaky sneak, and I know you killed your aunt. He seemed more calculated in this one, because, you know, he's like, yes. Because he's so focused on Emma, and he's such a big part of the story in this one, it's like, but he's so charming, like, the most charming of the men, that he gives me a real, like, you are a murderer. You're like a sociopath.
He does, like, there is something about him that is... he's just more interesting than the other men in this adaptation. Like, obviously, Mr. Woodhouse is, like, typicals, like, funny, ridiculousness. But, like, we don't really get as much of him. Yeah. And, I mean, we just get a lot of Mr. Knightley, and he's just not very likable. So we get him, and we're, like, at this point, we're, like, starving for, like, give me one likable man, please. And he's there.
Yeah. Okay, so... yeah, but he also, like, the whole Jane and him is very much, like, right there, because he's like, oh, I gotta go see this lady. You know, I barely know her, but I still gotta go, like, this minute to see her. Mm-hmm. And, like, anytime she starts asking him, like, how well do you know Jane Fairfax? He changes the subject. Uh-huh. And so he's very, like, you can see the calculation for both him and Jane, but, like, I just feel like it... I love Frank Churchill, don't get me wrong, but the character always kind of makes me feel like you have a problem. Like, you should not be so easy to be able to lie like this well and this charming and convincingly and, you know, even fooled Emma. I feel like if you're fooling Emma and she thinks that you're in love with her, then you got issues, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think he's, like, also doing some, like love bombing and really trying to, like, do all these, like, manipulator tactics. Yes. I think he's just really good at manipulating, which, and I'm like, is that a rich person thing? Where does that, like, we don't get a lot of background for him, so it's like, where does that come from? Are you a killer?
Yeah, I can't wait till we get to this, the most recent miniseries adaptation, because it really tries to talk about the characters' childhoods in a way, which I really appreciate. So we'll get to that probably next year, maybe. Or I guess maybe at the end of this year. We'll see. I also think this Frank is very handsome.
He is. He's very handsome. I don't know if I ever looked him up, but I was like, he looks familiar. But once I get into like that groove of like, this person looks familiar, then I start doing it to everyone. I'm like, wait, I don't know this person.
You can tell, like, these are things that I was thinking throughout, because it's like, I'm talking about Frank, and why does he bother me so much, and why is this Knightley so angry? Then we have, like, a little party scene where they're singing and a little bit of dancing. It's a very cute scene. This is where, I guess, Mrs. Weston is speculating that Mr. Knightley is in love with Jane because she got the piano.
Mm-hmm. It was a gift.
I said, God, Frank comes into the story and suddenly he is in every scene and he never stops talking. He's so tricksy.
He's inserting himself everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, then Mrs. Elton comes in. We already said what she was from.
Oh, yeah. This one's like... she's less snobby and she's just more annoying in this adaptation. Like, it's not like, I don't feel like the dialogue is very different, but the way she's delivering it, it's not like she's saying, well, these are what my friends have and this is where I've been, blah, blah. It's very much like, stop talking, please.
Yeah, she seems kind of judgmental in this one.
Yeah.
I said, but I think Emma was like, how could she bear Mrs. Elton? And, you know, Knightley is like, Well, because she's friends with her. And I was like, but really, how can she bear Mrs. Elton?
Right. It's like Knightley just...
It's what makes her so depressed.
Right. Just buy into the gossip. The gossipy nature of the question.
Just talk and not be judgmental.
Yeah.
So Frank has to go home to get a haircut. And I was like, or no, this is after... No, he has to go home because his aunt is sick.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, go home and poison your aunt some more, Frank.
Pull the plug. I see what you're up to.
As he's leaving, though, and telling Emma, you know, I'm so sorry I have to leave. Our plans are dashed or whatever. It does kind of seem like, and I guess this is in the book, too, but he does kind of seem like, you know the secret, don't you? And I'm like, how yeah. can you think she knows that? But she looks so confused. I'm like,
he's probably thinking like, well, I've hung out with her so long. She's clearly very intuitive. Like she's got to know. And meanwhile, she's like, what is going on?
Yeah. They, I guess, have a dinner. Jane is a real downer of a dinner guest. She's like, I guess I have to go be a governess, which is like the slavery of women, not the real slavery, but you know. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Jane.
That I felt like was a little bit different. I don't remember that specifically being in the other adaptations, but it was definitely like focused on where it was like, oh, and in a way I was like, is this like social justice warrior Jane Fairfax? And I kind of like that.
I think she's really depressed at this point because Mrs. Elton is like, oh, I'm gonna make you a governess, and she's still like, but I want to get married to Frank and not have to be a governess.
Right. And get rich that way.
Exactly. Okay, so Frank comes back into town. It really is like one scene in between when he leaves and comes back, and they're having their ball. And Mrs. Elton has her funniest moment where she's like, I have a vast dislike of puppies.
It's like, that's one reason not to like her. A very big one. What a bitch.
She was talking to Mr. Knightley, and I was like, Mr. Knightley, just let a smile crack your face, please, because this is hilarious. You gotta admit.
Yes.
So it starts off with Emma and Frank, and then... Jane does dance with Frank after I noticed after the first two dances, mm-hmm. and she's finally happy. She's finally smiling.
It's like the only time.
And then Elton is a big old jerk, and Mr. Knightley is having none of it. He's like, excuse me, sir.
He did make a point to be like, excuse me, out of my way.
Mrs. Elton also has a very strange accent, and I was like, is this some sort of American accent you're putting on? I'm not it feels very it's weird.
Yeah, it's like not at like it's like the a subtle drawn out of the accent, like you can barely tell it's British.
Yeah. Knightley compliments Harriet after the dance, and I was like, that's the quickest way to Emma's heart, just compliment Harriet.
Yes. And she's like, well, you're in love.
And then we get Harriet being set upon by a gang of children.
This scene was like a little scary.
I would not want a gaggle of street urchins attacking me in the lane.
No. And then her friend like is like, runs bye. I don't care about you. Goodbye.
Thank goodness for Frank Churchill. When they get back to the home, this is one of Emma's dream sequences. She's imagining a very Northanger Abbey end for Harriet. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I knew I was going to write this down and not remember what it was in context to, but I thought it was really funny. I think it may be Mrs. Elton says, I fancy myself a sort of shepherdess. And Harriet goes, are you fond of sheep?
Oh, Harriet. That's why I love you.
Yep. Okay. Oh, this is one of my favorite scenes in all, you know, and just in the book in general and all the adaptations, if it happens, is Jane and Emma at the strawberry picking when Jane wants to leave. Mm-hmm. And Emma's like, you know, let me at least get you a carriage or whatever. And she's like, no, please let me just be alone. I just like that little bonding moment between the two.
Mm-hmm. She's like, respect my boundaries.
Yeah. Frank is all cross. And Emma says, choose your own degree of crossness, which I thought was very funny. And then, dun, 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 Box Hill.
Oh, here we go.
Which looks so unpleasant from the get-go. It's like dusty, bumpy, buggy, hot, steep.
And meanwhile, when they get there, Mrs. Elton is like, ooh, I think I'll like this. And it's like a shot of like a boring hill with no, like it, no. No, yeah. No, thank you.
So Jane is clearly very pissed off at Frank during this section, which, you know, it all is contributing to this moment. And Knightley doesn't really know what's going on. Emma doesn't either, to be fair. So they're all like thinking somebody else is to blame for everyone's bad mood. But really, it's Frank who's to blame for her bad mood. Yeah, and I can definitely, in this adaptation, 100%, I blame Frank and Mrs. Elton for Emma's quote-unquote rudeness to Mrs. Bates, which was, this is like the least offensive version of this scene. Like, you'd think that Mrs. Bates could laugh at herself a little. She says it in such a non-mean way to her, like, she was literally just saying the same thing about herself.
Yeah, and it was such like a throwaway, like, a throwaway line, but also like it felt, the way she delivered it, like very much like poking fun at her friend, and the reaction was so like silence and despair on Mrs.
Mrs. Bates is like practically in tears. But I also think it probably has more to do with Jane, because Jane has been in a foul mood because of Frank for at least a day.
So maybe Mrs. Bates is just a little extra sensitive because of Jane's bad mood.
Well, and because of hot, bumpy, dusty, buggy.
The worst hill in the world.
It's kind of like one of those days where everyone seems like they're on the verge of tears, and anything could set anyone off at any given moment.
This is probably where, oh my god, what's his name? We just said it.
Frank?
Oh my god. No.
Mr. Elton?
The other one. No.
Mr. Knightley?
Yes. Oh my god, what happened? It just left my brain. This is where Mr. Knightley, to me, I was like, his reaction to the whole situation was so over the top. Oh, and honestly, like, so rude to Mrs. Bates. He basically is like yelling at Emma, being like, she is poor, she doesn't have anything to live for, why are you being mean to her? She might as well die now.
Well, and he's just jealous about Frank, really. That's the only reason he's mad. Honestly, Emma should have just been like, oh God, I'm sorry, I did not mean to offend you. Like, in the moment, and everything would have been fine. But, you know.
Nope. She was probably caught off guard. She was like, why didn't anyone laugh?
Yeah. This is the moment where I was like, it's so hard to want or even suspect that Emma and Knightley should get together.
Yeah, that's why I was like, how are they going to pull this off?
Yeah. And then Frank's aunt dies. And I said, he definitely murdered her. He's so conveniently timed. And he is so already proven to be kind of
cunning,
sociopathic. I think he just was like, I'm just going to not give her medicine or something like that. Yes.
I'm going to hoard it for a couple days.
Yeah, so basically then we get Harriet's revelation that she's in love with Mr. Knightley. The most underwhelming revelation by Harriet that she's in love with Mr. Knightley. Like,
girl, come on.
Only Emma's like abhorrence of any other woman liking Mr. Knightley or vice versa shows that she cares about him. That is the only thing that shows that she might have feelings for him, is that she's like, no, there's no way he's in love with Jane Fairfax. And when Harriet says it, she's like, ugh, how could I possibly even like this girl? And then there's like a montage where she's realizing she's in love with him. And I'm like, even this montage does not make me think that you're in love with him.
No, not at all.
But then he comes home and he is offended on her behalf for Frank. And I said, well, this is your most redeeming moment. You being concerned about her heart for Frank. And then he gets angry again.
Shocker.
Because he's like, he gets off way too easily. And I'm like, it's true. He does really get he off does. Way too easily. I get it.
I was waiting for him to be like, and I think something's going on with his aunt. There's something weird.
I know. I'm the only one who thinks that. But
no, I believe you.
This is also like the quickest this scene ever. Like, Emma's like, don't say it. Never mind, say it. You know, there's no suspense built at all.
No.
But this is where I was like, well, Knightley doesn't have a single wrinkle on his face, but his hair does age up. But otherwise, he does look pretty young.
I wonder if it's just that that British thing where a lot of British men, because that actor is bald now, so I'm sure he was balding from a younger age. And so
just but one that of those can't be his real hair.
I don't know. I mean, whoever gave him that hairline on purpose is rude.
I love him. Was like, I believe I've always loved you, but I didn't know it till yesterday.
It's like, neither did we.
And then they have an extremely awkward kiss because he almost looks like he kind of like bellies up to her in a way. I was like, this is not a good kiss.
No, it just looks awkward, and the age difference to me is just so uncomfortable. I'm like, they look so far in age.
Yeah. Okay. Harriet, or Emma goes to apologize or to tell Harriet, and Harriet's coming to tell Emma about Mr. Martin. And I'm like, they made up so easily. Like, they weren't even ever mad at each other. It was just like, Oh, I'm getting married. Oh, I'm getting married. Okay.
We're friends now.
I like the way Harriet's like, I know it means we can never meet again, but I have to marry him. And I was like,
it's like, this seems like a very strict rule. I'm pretty sure you guys could hang out still.
Yeah, well, we prove it in the last scene, which I really do like. Poor Mr. Woodhouse. I was like, don't make me cry with your, what would I do without you?
I know. That scene is always like, so like, I think it's just so sweet with it, where he's like, you're leaving me. Everyone leaves. And they're like, no, we're living with you.
But Emma turns it around again super easily. She's just like, but what about the poultry thieves? And he's like, you're right.
He's like, your brain.
We get a little moment of watching, I guess, Mr. Martin and his crew trying to get the hay in before the rain. My favorite trope. But yeah, I really do love the like culmination of this movie as like a harvest dinner.
Yes.
And it's all at Mr. Knightley's castle. It's got a real castle vibe. And she walks up to Harriet and everyone's like, she's talking to the boars.
Oh my gosh, look.
The Eltons are really rude about it.
Of course.
But nobody cares about them anymore.
Nope.
We see the dancers like, and they're like practically running over the people who are sitting down on the edges. And at the end, Emma and Frank talk. And I was like, I would much rather see Emma and Jane talk at the end instead of Emma and Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, essentially that's what we care about the most.
Yeah.
As far as like the baseline, the baseline Emma story is their relationship. But I guess, I don't know. I mean, have we ever gotten a end of the adaptation where Frank Churchill is there?
Well, we don't usually have a big party at the end where everybody is like talking to each other, but Frank and her usually do have a moment. I just would rather see her and Jane talk than her and Frank, but I guess Frank was in it more, so it makes sense.
Yeah, they didn't seem to care about Harriet that much.
Yeah, my last thought on the movie was, because they're doing the final dance, and I said, this has to be the least well-endowed Jane Austen adaptation ever. There's not a single heaving bosom in the cast.
Nope. They did not care about showing off bosoms.
Usually there's at least like some huge breasts in any Jane Austen adaptation. And this one, I was like, they're all small. Probably not the thing I should notice last thing in the movie, but I can't help myself.
They're just a little more conservative, I guess, maybe in this county, in this adaptation.
Yeah, it was a very skinny, skinny cast.
It was.
And then we get the poultry thieves. Dun, dun, dun. And that was it.
That's all.
What are your thoughts on, like, this adaptation versus other adaptations? What did you like about this one or not like about this one?
I would say overall, I did like this one, but I would say in comparison to other adaptations, it felt a little bit, like, just not as fun. Felt a little bit dry, but I liked Kate Beckinsale. I thought she was great. I think that historically, Emma adaptations tend to have good Emmas. Mm-hmm. But I wish they, you know, featured Harriet more and maybe Knightley a little less.
Yeah, I did. I like watching how the different adaptations put emphasis. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't really have the like style of the Autumn de Wilde version.
Right.
And it didn't have like the kind of slapstick humor that the Gwyneth Paltrow one had. But it did feel like a little more like maybe what people, like British people, would imagine was more realistic to the time period.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really sensational, but I liked it. I didn't like Mr. Knightley. I didn't think he really was making me want him to get together with Emma in any way. I did like Kate Beckinsale. I thought she made a really good Emma. The rest of the cast was fine. I think probably one of the better Franks, honestly, and Jane Fairfax's. I don't really remember Frank or Jane from the Autumn de Wilde one, so I guess they weren't that important.
I don't really either. I feel like that adaptation really focused on Harriet and Emma, which I really liked.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's at the crux of almost all Jane Austen's works, is like the relationships between women and sisters or friends or whatever. Like, that's kind of what I end up caring about the most.
Yeah, I agree. But I did think this one did a good job of like trying to have the twist and also having all the elements underneath the surface so you could see it when you went back.
Yeah.
And it was really fast. It really skated over a lot of the story.
Yes.
And it didn't really focus at all. A lot of people nowadays love to talk about how Emma is so terrible and blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, y'all need to get a life. But
she's young.
She's when we get to the book, we'll really talk about her because, you know, I mean, Jane Austen knew she wasn't the most likable of all of her characters.
But right.
This one does not in any way try to make her seem likable. It doesn't even not really focus on her wealth in any way. I think, if anything, it focuses on Knightley's wealth more than hers. But
yeah,
I mean, it's there, definitely, but it's not like
on display.
Yeah. This Robert Martin really didn't like Emma, though. We barely talked about him, but
well, that's like a lot of these would you call them ancillary characters or whatever they're called, whatever literature term. There was not a lot of focus on them, and I tend to like when there is focus on them, just because there tends to be like little moments that are like funny or like, I don't know, just I like looking at what the people in the background are doing.
Yeah. You know, but depending on how far we get and what we get to this year, I wouldn't mind doing one of our last two Emma adaptations this Christmas.
Ooh, is it particularly Christmassy?
Well, there is a Christmas scene.
Ooh, I love a Christmas scene.
But I think it would be good. Because, I mean, technically, I don't know that we're going to be doing this podcast for more than one more year after this year, because I think we'll basically have covered everything. I mean, we might still go on, I don't know, in some other capacity, but
yeah,
we're getting close to having seen everything. But the fact that there's still two adaptations to watch makes me think maybe we should watch another one this year, especially since we're going to be reading Emma next year as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to read that book because I just love the story and I have a feeling it might be my favorite, but I'm always down to watch more Emma.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's know what you think about doing a Christmas Emma.
Yes.
We still have the, I don't know if it's 70s or 80s version, which I haven't seen in a while. It's not my favorite Emma from what I remember.
As far as you know.
We still have to do a section at some point on my least favorite things. I've always said we're going to do, but we still haven't done. So we'll see if we get to those. I was thinking maybe when we're done with everything, we could like watch all the Emmas back to back and then do like an episode on talking about comparing and contrasting them, or, you know, all the different adaptations. I don't know. This is talking about stuff that's coming way in the future. So
who knows what'll transpire and change minds and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Did you have a favorite moment from this one?
Yeah, I really liked the introduction scene to Frank Churchill. For some reason, that really stands out in my head. And I don't know if it was because his hair looked so funny to me, but that stood out to me. And then also the scene where we first see Jane playing and singing. I was like, oh, she's a really good singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are probably my two favorites. Jane.
Yeah.
Me too. What about you?
I'm tempted to just say Mrs. Elton talking about puppies is my favorite moment because
her dislike of.
Very funny. But yeah, I mean, I liked Jane. I mean, I liked the stuff that it was focusing on because that's what it was focusing on. Like, I liked Kate Beckinsale as Emma. Mm-hmm. I liked Jane Fairfax. I liked Frank, even though, of course, you know, I have my issues with him as a character.
And a killer.
But I liked this version of him because he doesn't come across as like menacing as sometimes Frank Churchill can. But because of that, it makes him seem more like sociopathic.
Yeah, he's like got a charm to him, and he just has it's almost like they really focus on like the more like excitement of a new handsome person coming. They're like, oh, this person, ooh, like we're not, you know, being let known of his like weirdness around Jane or around his aunt and that situation. It's very put away.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like.
And again, male director. We're not focusing on the females enough.
Well, if the trend is trending.
I will say I liked the other two Knightleys so much better than I like this Knightley.
Yes, I agree.
Sorry, Knightley.
He was just a little too combative.
He was very angry. He was very angry Knightley. But overall, I think it's a great, it's a great addition to the Emma oeuvre.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're watching an Emma marathon, this one is an easy watch. It's, you know,
it's free.
Yep, it's on YouTube. And yeah, I do like this one. It always is in my rotation when I'm watching them all, which I haven't done since we started this podcast, so...
I would definitely recommend it, and it's definitely good for like if you're like not feeling well and you're doing like a Jane Austen binge day because you're like, I'm just gonna stay in bed the whole day, this is definitely should be on the list.
Yeah, and it's probably not gonna like really make you cry or anything. If you're like just wanting something light and sweet, it's a good
definitely for that. I agree.
And but next week we're gonna, well, I don't know. I mean, I know what we're recording next, but I don't know if it's gonna come out next week. But we're definitely gonna be covering the Hallmark Jane Austen. What is it called? Lovember? No.
Lovember? No. Loveuary.
Loveuary.
I was like, wait, we're not in November.
We're gonna do the Loveuary movies. So there might be a little bit of a David Lynch break for a little while. So we'll have to think about what to do when we come back, because with David Lynch, because
yes,
we gotta throw this Hallmark. It kind of came out of nowhere, at least in my, I didn't see it before now, so we gotta watch those. But Anyway, let us know what you think of this adaptation compared to the rest. Is this your favorite Knightley?
Yes. Do you have the same issues with Churchill as we do? Do you think he's a murderer? Because we do every single adaptation.
No one has told us yet. But
yeah, you can email us at mannersmadness@gmail.com. Twitter, we're at Manners Madness. Instagram, at Manners Madness Pod. I refuse to say X. And on Threads, we're also at Manners Madness Pod.
Yes.
And we have a website, mannersmadness.com. You can leave a 1-minute voicemail if you'd rather just talk it out. And we also have a donate button if you feel so generous.
Yeah, we'd love for you to leave us a voicemail. It's been a while since anyone did that.
Yeah.
I was thinking of something the other day that we should add to our outro, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, give us a 5-star rating.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't gotten any of those in a while. We got some on Spotify, but we would love a 5-star rating and maybe a review if you feel so inclined.
Yeah. Always very appreciated.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's it for this week. And we'll see you or talk. I always say that. We'll talk to you next week.
I always say it too. Yes. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Good night.